Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we've finished a long side discussion of the concept of Vishuddhisattva, of a spiritual pure mode of goodness. That was from 10.6 up to 10.24. Big chunk. Now we return to what was the main discussion, the explanation of the verses that describe Lord Brahma's vision of Vaikuntha. And we're still on the second of those nine verses. The verse is... Excuse me. Pravartate yatra vajastamastayo satvam cha mishram na cha kala vikramaha na yatra maya kimuta pare harir Anuvrata yatra sudha sudarchita. The translation. In that personal abode of the Lord, the material modes of ignorance and passion do not prevail, nor is there any of their influence in goodness. There is no predominance of the influence of time. So what to speak of the illusory external energy? It cannot enter that region. The inhabitants of that region who are dedicated to Lord Hari are worshipped by everyone, both demigods and demons. Okay, now we're continuing Jiva Goswami's explanation of that verse. Atta, 10.25. Atta pravartate ityadikam eva padyam vyakhyayate. Now we will return to explain the verse at hand, which begins pravartate. Nanu gunadi abhavan nirvishesha evasau loka ityashankya. Okay. It may be doubted. Nanu is the marker of a purvapaksha, which says, there being no modes or other material qualities in that world, it must be devoid of all distinct features. The Vaikuntha world must have no distinct features. Tatra means what? Where? In regard, in answer to that, you know, the best way to understand it, and together with a nanu, and a purvapaksha, and then iti ashankya, anticipating that, or somebody raises that objection being raised, tatra, in response to that, it's vishaya saptami, in that regard, but it really means, in context, in answer to that. Tatra visheshas tasya shuddha sattvatmikaya sarup anatirikta shaktir eva vilasa rupa iti jyotayams tameva vishesham darshayati harer iti. What is harer iti? I'm sorry, before I do. Let's see. Nayatra Maya, second half. Kimutapare Harer Anuvata Yatra Sura Sudarchita, where in that Vaikuntha the followers of Hari are worshipped by the Suras and the Asuras. In answer to this, the words beginning Harehe reveal the distinct features of that world by alluding to the fact that the distinctions found there evolve as the play of the Lord's internal potency. Who is non-different from his essential self and belongs to the pure mode of goodness? Okay, I think that who should be a witch. Although the internal potency is a person. Is a Shakti, it sounds peculiar. The who seems like it refers to him, the Supreme Lord. So I'm afraid I'll have to make that who a witch. Let me make a note of that. Okay. Sura Sattva Prabhava. Prabhavaha, I'm sorry, not Prabhava, but Prabhava. What does Prabhava mean? Not Prabhava, but Prabhava. Yeah, origin. Creation. Yeah, source, origin, yes. But it is actually the verb, Prabhu, to give birth. So it's the source of birth. Asura Rajas Tamak Prabhavas. And the Asuras are born from what? Rajas and Tamas. Mixed. Archita. Tire Architaha. The residents of Vaikuntha, that's not said, but it's implied as a subject, are worshipped by the demigods, those influenced by the mode of goodness. The word the is missing. Let me make a note. Oh, boy. The residents of Vaikuntha are worshipped by the demigods, those influenced by the mode of goodness, and by the demons, those influenced by passion and ignorance. That is to say, these residents deserve much more to be honored than all of them, because it is implied they are transcendental to the material modes. These Vaikosa residents, oh, I didn't read the Sanskrit, sorry. Tebyo arhatama ityartaha. Gunatita twad eveti bhavaha. Taneva varnayati. Shama vadataha iti. These Vaikuntha residents are described in the verse beginning Shama Vadataha. Shamascha Avadata Ujwalas Cha Iti. They are dark blue and also pristine Avadata. Avadata literally means cleaned, like your dhoti after it's been through the laundry. It's Avadata. But it also, Avaduta is somebody who doesn't follow standard principles. Avadanta here means pristine or clean. And Jiva Goswami gives the gloss on that, Ujvalas, which I translated as glowing. People in Vaikuntha actually glow. Padmanetra. Pitavastra, Surucho, Tikamaniya, Supeshasho, Tisukumaraha, Kamaraha. They are dark blue and also pristine, glowing. They have lotus-like eyes and yellow garments and are very effulgent, attractive. The word is Tsuru Cho. That can mean, ruchi can mean, falls into, it can also mean attraction. So actually the gloss on it is atikamaniya. Maybe I shouldn't say effulgent for Tsuru Cho. Boy. Is Tsuru Cho derived grammatically from ruchi or from some ruch? Just ruch, directly from the, it's just a plural form of suruch. It's like a, it's what do you call? Quip? Yeah. So it's ruch. So it's a question of what does ruch really mean? Does it, can ruch, yeah, ruch can be attractive, can it? Let's see the dictionary on that, if you don't mind a diversion. Because I gave the first translation as effulgent. Maybe that's not appropriate in this context. The verb ruch. Yeah, well, let's see, but do you have it listed that ruch at the end of a compound? Ruk. In compound for ruch. But it doesn't have any definition for ruk by itself. Yeah. Ruk, comma, desiring splendor, brightness, shining. I guess the basic meaning is effulgent. Okay, so I say, and then gloss it as attractive, because that's what Jiva Goswami does. Okay, next. Supesha Sho Ti Sukumaraha. That is, and very, then they are very beautiful, which is glossed as gently youthful. Ati Sukumaraha. Because Sukumara can mean gent, can mean tender, it can also mean young. I said gently youthful to cover both. Unmishanta iva prabhavanto manipraveka manyuttama yeshu tani nishkani padakani abharanani yeshamte. They are decorated by ornaments, but that's specified. Nishka abharana. Ornaments, parenthesis, pendants, with precious, most excellent, jewels, which blink like eyes. Jewels are blinking like eyes. That shouldn't be taken too literally, so the gloss is given that they're radiant. They're sparkling, so it looks like they're blinking, but they're not actually, you know, they don't actually have eyelids, and they're not actually opening and closing. The jewels. They just are so sparkling, they look like they're blinking like eyes. Suvarjasa tejasvinaha. They are very splendid, powerful. Pravaleti KP Tebya Sri Bhagavat Sarupyam Labdavadyo Nye. Pravaladi Samavarna. See, the problem is, it says that they're colored. What is it? Translation? We didn't read the translation for this verse. Let me do it. This is Prabhupada's translation, I think. Those inhabitants of the Vaikuntha planets have a glowing sky bluish complexion. Their eyes resemble lotus flowers. Their dress is of yellow color, yellowish color, and their bodily features very attractive. They are just the age of growing youths, and they all have four hands, and they are nicely decorated with pearl necklaces, with ornamental medallions, and they all appear to be effulgent. And then the next half verse, Pravala Vaidurya Rinala Varchasar. Parispurat kundala mauli malinaha. Some of them are effulgent like, it doesn't, the word some is not there in the Sanskrit. But we put it, I think Prabhupada put it there. It must be from the explanation of the commentary. Because if you just say they are effulgent like coral or diamonds in complexion, that will create some doubt. I thought, people think, and they're right, that generally the inhabitants of Vaikuntha are dark blue complexion. same color as Narayan. So why does it say that there are some different colors? So the translation modifies it, although the word some is not there. Prabhupada says some of them. Is that Prabhupada's translation? Some of them are effulgent like coral or diamonds in complexion and have garlands on their heads, blooming like lotus flowers, and some wear earrings. The problem here is this, being coral or diamond. Corals are red, diamonds are white. Explanation by Jiva Goswami about this. The word beginning pravala describes some of them. That's where Prabhupada gets KP. That's where Prabhupada gets the sum that he puts in his translation. He gets it from Jiva Goswami. Probably in the Kramasandarbha. Probably copied into the Kramasandarbha. The words beginning pravala describe some of them, because everyone knows that most of the residents of Vaikuntha are dark blue. But the words beginning pravala describe some of them with complexions the same as coral and so on, who are different from those residents who have attained the perfection of having forms just like the personality of Godhead's form. So that implies that the perfection of having a body looking just like Narayan's is available, but just for variety, some of them don't take advantage of it and appear in some other forms. That's further explained in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that sometimes they take all sorts of forms. The forms of animals and birds, as demons and demigods. All sorts of forms, just for the variety that gives the pleasure to Lord Narayan. They'll appear any old way, sometimes. There are some devotees who are always in a different form, some devotees who just sometimes assume a different form. Okay, commentary. For convenience, here again is the verse under discussion. Parvartate yatra vajastamastayo satvam jamishram nachakala vikramaha na yatra maya kimuta pare harer anuvrata yatra sura suror chita. In that personal abode of the Lord, the material modes of ignorance and passion do not prevail, nor is there any of their influence in goodness. There is no predominance of the influence of time. So what to speak of the illusory external energy? It cannot enter that region. The inhabitants of that region are worshipped by everyone, both demigods and demons. The passage, including this verse, was cited at the beginning of this anuchheda. Impersonalists presume that the realm of ultimate variety must be undifferentiated and formless. The creator Brahma, however, was granted a vision of Lord Narayan's Vaikuntha, where there is no influence of the matter modes, I think that's the material modes. Hey, let me fix it. I can't fix this file. Why? Can someone explain to me on the basis of BBT publishing principles why I can't make the correction directly in the file? Yeah, it's not the active file. The active file is in hands of Keshav Bharti Maharaj, who's starting to edit. I gave him the whole book. So I have to make a note. That's why I have to take these diversions and write a note to myself, because I don't have the active file. You understand what active file is? You know, I have a copy of it. Keshav Bharti Maharaj has a copy of the whole book. With my current manuscript, he's going to be editing it now. So he has the active file. The changes that he makes into that file, that's going to be the new file. And I shouldn't make any changes in my file directly, because
He has the file.
He has the active file. When he gives it back to me, then I can enter my changes. Okay. If you don't follow that principle, then everything gets chaotic. You lose corrections. Continuing. The creator Brahma, however, was granted a vision of Lord Narayan's Vaikuntha, where there is no influence of the material modes, yet an infinity of desirable variety and form. The Swarup Shakti, or spiritual energy of the Supreme Lord, is not limited by the laws of the inferior modes. From it arises real variety, because it is real Shakti, or potential for change. That's what Shakti energy means. Potential for change, or for anything to happen. Material change is due to the mode of passion, but spiritual transformation is a natural function of Vishuddha Sattva. Even though the substance of the transcendental realm is always one and the same, it inconceivably displays all variety. This is the ultimate reality. And that's the basis of our whole ontology, or our philosophy of what exists. What are the real, are the categories of reality? The ultimate substance of reality on the higher level is Vishuddha Sattva. And even though it's one unchanging, it can display transcendental variety and transformations. We call this Achintya Bheda, Bheda philosophy. Or another term for it is Vishesha. The Absolute Truth has no Bheda, no differences, but it has Vishesha. Even within the one unchanging, same supreme entity, there is the display of variety. And it's accomplished by the inconceivable energies of the Supreme. Continuing, personal form is factual in Vaikuntha, and the prototype of all such form is found in the body of the Supreme Lord. Every resident of Vaikuntha is granted sarupya, the perfection of having an appearance very similar to that of Lord Narayan. Or in the case of females, that of his consort. It is not a rule, however, that everyone has to always exercise the option to look like Narayan. It's a facility, but you don't have to use it all the time. Or not everybody has to appear like that. For the pleasure of Narayan, some devotees sometimes assume other forms. As Srila Sanatana Goswami describes in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, second part, chapter 4, verses 36 to 39. Let's find it. Let's see what Sanatana Goswami says. 2, 4, 36 to 39. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, I have to open up the file. Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I'm sorry, you have it? Anyway, I have it here. I don't have the PDF files, but I have the fourth. What was it, 36 to 39? I don't have chapter 4. Why? Okay, don't have chapter 4. Oh, chapter 4 is in the second volume, not the third, that's why. Okay, hold on a second. Okay, here's the file. Okay, but I have it here. Text 36 of chapter 4 of the second part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Gopakumar has reached Vaikuntha and he sees the inhabitants there. Kechid vichitra rupani dvitva dvitva muhur muhu Vichitra Bhushanakara Viharadya Manoharaha. Some assumed different forms at different times, with all kinds of ornaments, bodily features, and ways of acting, all exceedingly attractive. And here's the commentary based on Sanatana Goswami's commentary on his own book. Commentary: The Vaikuntha devotees not only acted in many different ways, but also assumed many differing forms, including even those of animals, birds, and trees. That's not my idea. That's not Goswami saying that. Some devotees would show one form for some time and then change into another. Even some of them appear as trees, even. Because the trees are alive. They're devotees. Kechinara vanarascha deva daityas tatarshayaha parevarnashramachara diksha lakshanadarinaha. Some appeared as humans, some as monkeys, demigods, demons, or sages. And some bore the signs of person initiated into the behavior of the varnashrama system. Commentary: the residents of Vaikuntha are in fact purely transcendental persons. The substance of their bodies is unalloyed Satchit Ananda. So these residents never belong to the human or any other material species, nor to the limited designations of varnas and ashramas. Still, for the Supreme Lord's pleasure, they may assume or relinquish any form at any time. Some of them, therefore, appeared before Gopukumar like members of Vedic society, wearing the signs of particular ashramas and varnas. Some wore sacred threads like initiated brahmanas, indicating that they chanted mantras for worshipping the Lord. And they carried kushagrass and kamandalus in their hands, wore tulsi malas on their necks, and had tilak on their foreheads. Indra chandradi sadvishas trinetra chatur anana chatur bujas ahasrasya kechid ashtabujas tata. Some looked like Indra, Chandra, or other demigods. Some had three eyes, or four heads, or four arms, or eight, or 1,000 faces. Commentary: some of the Vaikuntha residents looked like the king of heaven, Indra, with 1,000 eyes on their bodies, and thunderbolt weapons in their hands. Not just one, but several Indras walking around. Others appeared like the gods of the moon, fire, sun, or wind. These demigods headed by Indra are not actually incarnations of the Supreme Lord like Shiva and Brahma, who are especially empowered guna avatars. If required for service to Lord Narayan, the Vaikuntha Vasis can assume the exact forms of ordinary demigods. But empowered incarnations and direct expansions of Narayan, such as Ananta Shesha, the Vaikuntha Vasis can only emulate, to the extent of copying certain of their bodily features. They can't directly assume the form of incarnations. They can exactly copy the forms of demigods, but they can only partly copy the forms of God. Last of the verses. Etat parama vaichitri hetum vakshyami te grataha Krishna bhakti rasaswada vatam kim syanna sundaram. Later I shall explain to you the reason for this extreme variety of appearances. For those who enjoy the moods of devotion to Krishna, is there anything not beautiful? Commentary. In Vaikuntha, the liberation of Sarupya, having a form similar to that of the Supreme Lord, is available to everyone. We may reasonably expect, therefore, that all the Vaikuntha residents should have four arms and look like Lord Narayana. Why then did some of them look like humans, monkeys, and all sorts of other forms of life? Gopakumar later heard from Narada Muni the definitive philosophical explanation for this variety. And in the course of the present narration, Gopakumar will relate that to his own student. But even granting that there is a reason for varieties of bodies in Vaikuntha, why should Lord Narayan's devotees assume ugly bodies like those of monkeys? In response, it may be said that we know from common worldly experience that anyone who has an intense attraction to something cannot help but see that thing as beautiful no matter what it is. This is also true on the spiritual level. Otherwise, why would the Supreme Lord and his devotees be so attracted to persons like Hanuman and Jambavan? Another argument is that they don't have ugly monkey bodies. Hanuman's body is very attractive. And Jambavan's also. Okay, I think we have to stop there a little early. Any questions? Any comments? Okay, this is easier. We're done with the Vishuddha Sattva discussion. Now we're just getting a glimpse of Vaikuntha, which is a little easier to understand. Yes.
Yes. What is the definitive philosophical explanation for the variety?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to find it. I didn't bother to give a reference here. Somewhere later, Narada is explaining why there's different devotees have different forms in Vaikuntha. I don't remember. Somewhere. When Gopakumar is about to leave Vaikuntha, Narada Muni gives him extensive instructions at the end of the fourth chapter. So if you look in that part, when Narada gives his long instructions to Gopakumar, and it's basically about telling him there's another place called Goloka, he introduces to Gopakumar the concept of there's a higher place than Vaikuntha. So there, I think, you'll find Narada Muni explaining why there's variety in Vaikuntha. But I don't remember it. It's been years since I looked at it. Okay. No, it's stretching. Okay. So we'll stop here. Glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.